I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
From Postcard from the Past and Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the podcast where we consider beach views crowded with men in suits, underfed, red-sweated children looking wistfully over crumbling bridges, and one-eared donkeys set against solid blue skies, as we attempt to understand the memories, meanings and stories held by picture postcards. I'm Tom Jackson, and today I'm delighted to say my guests are writer Chris Power and actor and writer and performer Simon Caine. Simon and Chris, hello and welcome.
Hello.
Thanks.
Now, Chris Power writes about books, and particularly short stories for The Guardian, but he's recently put his plots and his characters where his mouth is in his own collection of short stories, Mother, which is resonant, quiet, unsettling, with moments that stay with you. And Chris comes to us today with a extremely blurred postmark, a blizzard of different postmarks. Why are you so shy to nail yourself to one place, Chris?
I think it's because I've been lucky enough to travel quite a bit here and there over the years, between study and holidays and visiting friends and weddings and stuff. And I think it's become apparent to me that I seem to notice more and pay attention more when I'm out of my comfort zone. Kind of grew up in the home counties, lived in London for 20 years. But when I'm here, I seem to be in a furrow and my head's down and I'm not really noticing. And when I'm anywhere else, I just seem to be more attuned to what's going on. I don't know if it's because I haven't got my headphones on or I'm just, you know, looking around me more. So when I came to, I found in my writing, I was constantly sort of setting things overseas, you know, places I'd been, seemed very resonant to me. So I think can I say global citizen, or is that a very 90s phrase?
I'm not sure. Global citizen, eternal wanderer. But is that because you need the strangeness to give a perspective on the normality in the everyday? Or
I think that might be it. I think there is certainly, it wasn't intended as such, but alienation kind of arose as a theme in my stories, something that sort of attracted me. And obviously, if a character is away from their home, away from their support network, away from the familiar, then you can sort of, their location can kind of embody or echo their own sense of dislocation.
I suppose if you travel, you've got an excuse to feel alienated. And it might suit you, or it might not suit you. And Chris, do you still send postcards?
I hadn't for many years, and then when Mothers came out last year, I kind of started sending them again because I was lucky enough to receive some from readers who said they'd enjoyed the book, and I was sending copies to various friends and acquaintances, and I would be writing a postcard and sort of tucking that in.
So that's the compliment slip
in the book.
The postcard.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of got back into it and kind of fell back in love with them and realised what an excellent medium of communication it is.
Well, you'll get no argument from me. Now, if you keep an eye or an ear or an eye and an ear on comedy, you will know Simon Caine. You may have heard him in Angstrom, the Nordic Noir spoof, Catherine Jakeway's North by Northamptonshire, various John Finnemore enterprises, and you may also know him for his work with the Shunt Theatre Collective. And, of course, He's a writer too. He's written for Mitchell and Webb and his own cult radio comedy, Time Spanner, and more besides. Simon comes to us today with a pair of postmarks. I think one Southwest London, one Los Angeles.
Yeah.
How do you? I didn't take the shuttle bus between those two locations. How does that work?
Well, there is. In my mind, there's actually quite a similarity between those two places. You asked me for a postmark. As I hear Chris talk, I'm thinking more and more that I'm in a holding pattern between places. But I know these are two places that have struck me as feeling homey, where I go, oh, yeah, I could function here quite well. One of those places I did function, that was when I finally moved out of my parents at the age of 25 to Brixton into a house share between Brixton and Camberwell. Loughborough Junction, and I stayed there on and off for 14, 15 years.
Wow, same place?
No.
Or moving around the area?
House share with friends from university, and then they left, and then more friends came in, and we all were quite creative, and then there was a fire that I may have started in 2009. And fortunately, everyone survived, and the house was a temporary write-off.
Oh.
Then I moved briefly to a gated community in Clapham, and then moved back in with my former next-door neighbour, called Morgan, whose artwork was all over the place. If you've ever been to Peckham Rye, he did the totem pole there. He's become more and more involved in community art. And I think, and this is something worth talking about, I think he was finally evicted from that house yesterday. Yes. He was there 40 years. And because I'm such a coward, I sort of sent a message on Facebook saying, sorry, love you, but I haven't really been in touch with him. But that road felt a lot like home to me, and that area felt a lot like home to me. And I think when I first moved in there in 2000, there was something about, it reminded me of Sesame Street. No one tutted you. Right. There's a creativity there and a safeness there that was partly due to the fact that certain people were frightened of it.
I see what you mean, and
I think...
But if you're on the inside, it's different.
Yeah, and I think that's, we were talking briefly, that's quite all our experiences of South London in a way that North London don't quite understand how...
Can't we get along?
Well, yeah, and now I've moved into a very nice place with some friends at Mornington Crescent, but the pace is completely different, right. And I still haven't emptied all my boxes, and I feel a bit like Blake. I go, yeah, I want to get out of Soho and walk on Peckham Rye.
Okay.
Los Angeles.
With the angels in the trees.
Yeah. Or at least the murals of the angels in the trees.
Yeah, but Los Angeles. Did work take you to Los Angeles?
No. I went to Hollywood on my gap year between school and university.
No mucking about.
No. I moved out with my parents and stayed in a flat share vicarage by Battersea Park and saved up some money. And then, I mean, I was given all sorts of help. Stayed with friends of my family's who were actors and performers, and so I stayed with actors in Los Angeles, British actors.
Okay.
On the grounds next to them, which was a nudist colony. So I actually stayed in a tent in a clothing option colony called Elysium Fields, where I would garden. And they were expecting me there for 2 weeks. I didn't know I was there for 2 months. And it was incredible. And my dad particularly, is a huge fan of old Hollywood and Disneyland. And so there was... And I'm a huge fan of films and television, and that cliche about you go to America and you feel like you've walked into a film was there. But also, my first experience of there was, oh, this is beautiful, it's a shame what people have done to it. I returned there 5 years ago and I realised, no, people did the thing that makes it beautiful as well. And because I know a lot of actors who go there and have hard times there professionally, I never went there professionally. I went there and Los Angeles felt like a huge workshop.
Right. You didn't have that weight on your shoulders.
No, I didn't have that weight. I didn't have that weight on my shoulders.
It's because he wasn't wearing any clothes.
yeah.
That must
yeah.
have helped.
I've learned the values of sunblock, particularly as I'm a ginger. And there was one very, very ugly day where I actually came out in blisters and we had to break open the... What are those cactuses called?
Aloe vera?
Aloe vera, not alopecia. Yeah.
No.
And just stick that on my back. Yeah, so I returned there 20 years later with sunblock and realised that a lot of the freedom I attributed to being 19 and travelling the world was also just down to what being in Los Angeles felt like. And I considered how many people go there and make things. And I thought, this was pre-Trump. Let's put it like that. This, I felt, if you were a time traveller coming to, like, the beginning of the 21st century, you could probably still, that would still be a good destination, Los Angeles, not necessarily because of film and television, but just because of, well, again, living next door to, and then living with Morgan, the street art, that ground up,
right?
Not ground up as in with the teeth, but like from the ground up,
yeah.
Sense of just going there and creating stuff.
So you like the hum of activity around you, things.
Well, not so much in Mornington Crescent, but I like the idea that I like that people have space to make work.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I like.
Very good, very good. Well, you have justified your choice 100%.
Oh, can I also just say, I really like that. I realize the light there is the light used by artists who did the front covers to secondhand paperback science fiction novels.
Really?
I love that. You go and see the light and the landscape, you go, that, you know, Asimov cover was based on those mounted. There's something about the light that is very 70s science fiction.
Wow, so that takes you back to stuff you read as a kid.
Maybe like you, I feel, Chris, it feels quite escapist.
Yes, yes. Oh. Yeah, I'm not sure you can live somewhere that you're escaping, though, because then that you stop escaping, don't you?
I think
once you live there.
No, I think, yeah. you can't, and then you move somewhere else, and yes. You go, oh, yeah, that was...
I guess if you're not native to it, you can still preserve the romantic ideal of it that you have.
And also, none of us are anywhere very long. So, you know, life is transient. So you just go there. And if you still feel a little bit, I mean, it's the experience of exiles and refugees. They end up somewhere and they make it their best. That's what you do, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, on that happy note, Simon, when did you last send a postcard?
I don't know. When I send cards now, it's to nephews and nieces, and they're very happy. They just want money, so I send cards to fold, and I can decorate that.
But you're out of the habit of sending them.
I am out, but it was a sort of habit that was, as we talk about, quite a creative thing that I also did in notebooks. There's a creative thing of adding to it and doodling, and there I started a blog 12 years ago, and that sort of when I first started going, well, what do I blog about? I thought, well, that can be the space where I create things and preserve things. That's not what it is anymore. It's much more video-based because, you know, everyone has broadband now and has for 10 years. But there was a
sense. So it's like a scrapbook of sorts?
Yeah, and I had notebooks which I would decorate very much like I used to decorate postcards. But now I communicate with people in a different way, and I make less stuff and I read less stuff. And, as I said...
Because you're earning a living.
Because I'm in a holding pattern. Because and also because I think there's a sense of community you have in your early 20s where you're all sending stuff to each other, and that breaks down. When I was looking through, when I found the box of cards, I thought, oh great, I've got stuff to bring in. A lot of it was from when I was in hospital after the fire, and that was the last big burst of cards.
Oh gosh, you were
cards.
In hospital then?
Oh yeah, for 2.5 weeks, yeah, in the Nightingale Ward in Whips Cross.
Good.
And yeah, that was a bit of an emotional punch in the guts, and you just get that sudden outpouring of love, and then the record of that. And one of the cards I brought in was post that, which I've received.
We will get
far more bohemian thing, I think, sending postcards now.
Maybe more of a conscious decision than it used to be. Maybe it was just something you used to do, and now you have to think carefully. And of course, Simon's done with an ironic touch now as well.
Yeah.
Well, before we discover the cards that Simon and Chris have brought along, I'll give you a quick one of mine. This is, of course, a postcard from the past card, like I do on Twitter, @PastPostcard. An old card from which I've selected just a part of the message. So this is a card from the early 70s. The date is obscured. It's St. David's Cathedral. The nave of St. David's Cathedral. It's rather nice colours, actually. It looks a bit like a painting, but I think
it does.
I think it's a photograph.
Surprisingly flat roof for a cathedral.
Inside, yes. The card, it's sent to Lancashire, Bolton, Lancashire, 10B postmark, and it's sent by someone called Jeff to his mother. Significantly. And the bit of the message that I thought had a resonance for me was, please could you send another pound? Everyone hasn't enough money, explanations later. And all I said, no explanations required, Jeff.
Well, that pound will sort it out. How old was that?
Well, early 70s. I think a pound would have gone quite a long way. Yeah. I wouldn't say how long, but I don't know how Mum was going to send the pound to Jeff exactly. Postal order?
That's a thing, isn't it?
It used to be.
Yeah.
How much would it cost to send a postal order?
Oh, I think that would be pennies. I think it would still be worth their while. Anyway, Jeff's desperate.
Yeah.
Explanations later. I'll do one more quick one like that. This is 1974. It's Countisbury Hill, which is near Lynmouth Bay. But it's actually posted from Taunton in Somerset, sent to North Wales. And an interesting insight. You're both writers, so you can take what inspiration you require from this. Forgot to tell you, Jennifer wore that trouser and dress you sent. Brackets. Shiny Lurex. I have had my hair cut short and had a perm. Norman likes it.
That's to... Who's that from and to?
There's a lot to unpack.
That is...
Context is everything.
From Pauline Norman and family.
Right.
So it's to a family friend or a relative. And it doesn't... It's to Mr. and Mrs. Usher. So it's to neighbours, I think. Or possibly other relatives. But...
What is Lurex?
It's a sexy spandex.
Yeah.
Spandex that lures the...
Jennifer wore it.
I guess, yeah.
And this is shiny Lurex.
Shiny alluring
spandex. Might have been even sparkly, I don't know.
You don't want to... Matt Lurex is just not... It's
all a bit odd because... There just seems to be too much information about things that are alluring. From the Lurex to the bubble perm that Norman likes. I don't know.
I think that's an incredibly polite family that, that seems to be sent by someone in the habit of writing and keeping in touch with people. And if they're neighbours, it's like, not necessarily friends, but that's... small writing as well.
So you're right.
It's one of those run down to the bottom and fit it all in. Don't go over into the right.
I've got so much to say.
We're not weirdos. Does it start with love too?
Well, I think there's an after.
Oh, does it go?
There's a PS at the top. Love to Nanny.
Oh, nice.
Just in case, because you know what Nanny's like. If you don't mention her, she's going to be you'll never hear the end of it.
So it's a bit like Finnegan's Wake. It's a loop.
It is, Chris, very like Finnegan's Wake in so many ways. Thank God I now no longer have to read Finnegan's Wake. I can just read two or three old postcards. To let you know at home, images of all the cards we discussed today are on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, so you can see for yourself. We're not making this up. Now, Chris and Simon, you've been kind enough to come along to the studio, the rather warm studio, with postcards of your own. Chris, let's start with some cards you've got in front of you. What are we looking at here?
So, this first one, it's actually a pair. One is a postcard, a picture from SeaWorld.
Rather controversial these days, is it?
Florida, yes. And I actually like the design of the card. It's got a kind of scalloped edge, which I guess is quite sea appropriate.
In the postcard world, we call that a decal edge.
A decal edge, sorry. Oh. I should know that because that's a book term as well. American books sometimes have decal edges. I found from Twitter that they really anger some people, decal edges.
Yeah, why would you have a decal edge? It's an accident.
I don't know. It sort of makes it look like you've cut the pages.
Carving knife.
Sort of thing.
But it's pre-thumbed.
And it's a picture of a seal jumping through a hoop. I'm sure it wanted to do that.
Is it a
it
seal?
Wasn't being coerced.
Well, I think seals do quite like doing tricks. I don't think that's controversial. No, they're not like whales.
It says, performing seals star daily in the delightful seal show at SeaWorld.
Oh, if it's delightful, that's fine. That's fine.
It's something to do. They require something to keep them interested.
Yeah, and that's... Should I read it out?
As much as you feel comfortable.
Okay, well, this says, Dear Christopher, which makes me feel a bit formal. It's like I'm being told off.
This must be from a parent.
No, it's from my best friend at the time.
Oh, okay.
This is back in 1989, so I was at early years of secondary school. Oh, that's interesting, yeah, because I would have not been in such close contact with this guy. He was a best friend from primary school.
So she'd known you from when you had your name on the peg at primary school?
Yeah. It says, greetings from America, brackets, well, Orlando, really. An interesting distinction that I like.
Yeah.
We've already seen SeaWorld, Miami Beach, Disney World, and I have a suntan. P.S. I saw Wayne on TV. Now, when I read this, I was just struck by, who's Wayne? And I cannot, for the life of me, think of who it is.
It's not Wayne, like Wayne's World, it's not.
No, 89. I think it's too soon.
You'd have remembered a Wayne, though. That's a rare.
I can remember
name.
A Wayne, and certainly if it was a Wayne who was on TV.
Yeah.
The implication is it's a mutual friend who's on TV.
No, it might have been. Right. It might have been a character that we loved, or a. But my memory is completely blank.
I think you need to write a story about this.
which makes it a partner with this other card that I received a couple of years later in 91. It's a postcard of New York. It's a pretty standard
Chrysler Building?
Image of the Empire State
That's
Building.
Empire State.
And it's got the... It's got the...
differently lit.
It's got the Twin Towers in the
That's
background.
That's the Eiffel Tower, yeah.
Yeah.
I know loads about these
things. I
think
it's Blackpool Illumination. posted in Trenton, New Jersey. And this is a postcard from a young woman, and she writes, at the moment on a rather fun-filled sightseeing cruise around New York, I have discovered A, the home of Barry Manilow.
Discovered.
B, the Statue of Liberty is rather green, actually. Yes. I would have liked to have drawn my view, but I'm sure you realise that such a small postcard cannot fulfil my full artistic potential. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed Ibiza, and I'll see you soon.
Oh.
Love, Wendy. And similar to Wayne, maybe it's just the names that start with W thing that affects my amnesia, but I can't remember who Wendy is.
There are so many.
There are so many, but I wish I could, because it's a really lovely card, I think.
She cares.
And I know it wasn't, like, a close friend. I'm still in touch with lots of my close friends from then, and I would remember them. But
and it's definitely to you.
It's definitely to me, yeah. Yeah, and I really have no idea. But and it also reminded me of going to Ibiza, which was my first like solo holiday. A friend and I went to Ibiza after.
So you'd been in Ibiza when she wrote this.
I guess, yeah, I would have been there the month before. And I went there because I'd been reading about it in The Face magazine. And like many suburbanite kids, The Face magazine was like my lifeline to glamour and hipness and what the cool kids were doing. I was reading about rave culture and the party scene in Ibiza.
You're reading about
like,
it.
I wanted to go there. Yeah. So I was like, well, that's where I'm going then. Well,
that reads like an interesting rave.
And that's where I went. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I'm intrigued by this, discovering the home of Barry Manilow.
Mm.
Is that a tourist attraction or?
Well,
discover tourist attraction. Maybe.
Well, she talks about a sight.
I found the British Museum. It's amazing.
There's a leaflet.
She talks about a sightseeing cruise. So
around,
I assume they
the island,
someone pointed out. You know.
Oh, I see. So she discovered it in the sense
that's
that someone
Barry Manilow's
pointed at
home.
It.
Yeah, I assume so. Yeah.
I can't imagine his. Are we imagining a penthouse?
It must be nice.
Probably
Lewis Lane flat.
Probably a pied-à-terre. You know, he's probably got some.
What is a pied-à-terre?
Isn't it just a sort of a flat in the city where you occasionally stay?
Okay.
Yeah, a foothold.
A foothold.
A foothold.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I think you're right. I think Barry Manilow would have a just off Broadway penthouse looking down.
Hmm.
And then spends the rest of the time in Florida? Looking at SeaWorld?
Oh, yeah. Training seals.
It's all interconnected.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. So these are normal, old-fashioned postcards sent to you, but you have gaps in your memory that mean that they are mysterious.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the, and I guess that sort of, that's what's so sort of tantalizing about postcards sometimes. And what I love about them, the fact that sort of their brevity is kind of baked into them. You know,
yes.
People don't have to apologize for being brief. That's really their only
But
option.
What's unusual is, I mean, the cards I get, by definition, they are orphans. They're missing from the people who wrote them and sent them. And I appreciate that, and I kind of exploit that.
Yeah. Mm.
When they're sent to you, you're meant to know the message, Chris. That's...
It's true. It's a long time ago, you know.
Years later, you might think distant relatives would say, it would be lovely to know who those people were. This was about 10 years ago, and you can't remember.
How often do people come in with found postcards? Is it always stuff they've been sent?
Well, I always encourage people to bring personal because it's probably better story.
Yeah.
Because the stuff that you found it can be astonishing and historic, but at the same time, it's nearly always a shortcut to a dead end.
Yeah.
Because right. You're just guessing.
Yeah.
And I suppose if we were doing a podcast about postcards, that would be great. But I like to think we're doing a podcast about people.
So many
via the
of those,
medium,
though.
What people?
Yeah, yes. People podcast.
Dude, this is people via the anyway. Too many, but I think too many peas.
I think that's what intrigued me so much about these because you sort of, you know, I've reached an age. I'm in my almost mid 40s where there are gaps in my own life, let alone in our sort of, you know, family history or whatever it is. That's sort of this is a piece of my past that's lost, maybe weighing on TV in a kind of unimportant way. But Wendy was an entire person who I've forgotten about.
But perhaps she's changed then. She's moved from being a memory to being a sort of literary construct. Hmm. So she's halfway to being in one of your stories because she's not part of you. She's part of some words on a page now. What a strange thing. But I think we'd probably all find the same if we went back and found... If we were lucky enough to have held on to the cards.
Mm.
There are those things, I cannot remember what that was. Yeah. You know, well, they're really good, though. I'm really intrigued. I'm certainly intrigued by a whole relationship with someone who you don't even know who they
it's an uncanny feeling.
Wendy, if you're out there, this would be a perfect opportunity to get in touch.
Or Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Barry, well, the door is always open for Barry. So, they're great. Simon, what have you got in your first tranche of cards? Now, you have got old cards here, I think.
Absolutely.
Or repurposed.
Yeah,
or...
but these, I haven't done the brave thing Chris did of bringing in. I did find, looking through the shoebox, once I found the shoebox, cards from people I didn't recognise, going, I don't know what that is. But I've got a much more kind of Desert Island Discs route.
And in your job, you do come across a lot of people. Actors meet a lot of people.
Oh yeah,
briefly, don't they? I
mean, although my, for want of a better word, career is a lot of getting work from friends and working with friends.
Right. So you do maintain a relationship.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So I've the first one I'm going to show. It's maybe a coloured old photograph or a doctor Ooh. Photograph or just an illustration.
Yeah,
of
say.
I think the message, the front message, Herzlichen Glückwunsch zum Geburtstag. I don't know what that means. Lots of German people looking merry,
Happy
holding
birthday.
Frothing beer and a bottle of champagne. Is that what that means?
Geburtstag, I think, is birthday.
That something
happy birthday. Don't know.
There you go. Well, this is not a birthday card.
But they're having a good time.
Yeah. Maybe don't know whose birthday time. It is. Simon has brought in a plate of flowers or oysters. But really, I was happy to find this because it's indicative of a stage in my life when sending postcards to each other was really cool and there was a way of doing it.
Yes.
So this is a picture that means nothing to me. I think it was sent by a friend there's a nice stamp that's not over the space you're supposed to put the stamp because that also has a nice picture on it.
So it's from Germany, I think. Am I right in saying that?
You could be.
It's Berlin.
Too dark. Yes. From Berlin.
Yeah, and dear Simon, and then in block letters, more men are using creative mumbling as a stepping stone to honest communication, which is a phrase that is just lodged in my head, means nothing, but it's a real gift of a phrase. Why is there a champagne bottle if they're all drinking beer? Love, Natalie. And then this is really indicative of a much smaller message written underneath, which then goes to the right-hand side of the card, so you have to turn it on its side. And then another arrow pointing. And this is still how I sign cards to my nephews and nieces. Just, you know, going on a little journey with the writing. And I'm not sure if you want a personal opinion. And it's basically just about there's apologising for there being so little to this message, going on and on and on and on and on, turning around. And then you have to turn it upside down to read the last bit, apologising profusely. It's just having fun with words and the joke and showing off.
Mucking about.
Yeah, and that was lovely to receive. And also... It's a normal stamped postcard. There's something really nice about an object just being received in the mail, not in an envelope. That Menagode quality of here's a thing I made, and I've turned it into something that's nice to look at, And now it's just going in the post. I'm not covering it in anything. And when we went to university, I think we'd just send each other postcards. And this is, yeah, I just, you didn't need to have anything to say. You used it almost as sometimes the blog. You'd use it as an inspiration to go, I'm going to make something. I'm going to send it to you. We're all the bee's knees. We're making work. Isn't this great?
I think the way the words go around, and I've not really thought about it before, the way they have these people muck about with the layout,
yeah,
that is the typographical or the orthographical equivalent of banter, isn't it? In the best sense, the sense of it's mucking about with the way you say things just to share a joke.
Oh yeah.
It's very much a shared experience. You're going to enjoy it as much as they enjoyed writing it.
Yeah. You're holding the object as well. It's about the object.
Yeah, it's in their sticky hands, and it'll be in yours.
Into a thing, you're going, yeah, and you have to do something with this thing you're holding in order to communicate.
Yes, you wouldn't have to do that on your phone. It's a physical thing. You're right.
Yeah,
this is
a thing. That's the image. I'm putting the stamp there, not there. It's going to have a postmark on it. It's creating something. It's slightly artistic, and that's always a happy experience. And the other one I brought in is probably the last of that school. This is not stamped. This, I think, was received in a small hat box of little treasures I was sent as a housewarming post the fire. I mean, of just things. This is from my friend Jeremy, and I had like dongles and wire and a little stencil set. I mean, stuff he could have worked wonders with. I didn't make that much use of. I'll describe the front of it first. It's sepia. Not as old as it looks, because this is one of the postcards I tore it down from a shelf. It's blue tacked up as a little bit of decor. It's a tiny little picture, and I thought it was a Garrett. Actually, looking closer, it is a, what is it? A black, I can't read it now.
It's the blacksmith at Gretna Green, where you go to get married in a hurry.
Oh, right. Okay. Covered with painting. It's actually that.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I think it is. I think that's where, you know, when people would run off to Gretna Green to get married.
Capital of
the Right, but they didn't get the married UK. At the blacksmiths.
They did.
Oh, at the blacksmiths.
I think so. I think that was the idea. And
oh,
it's
my God.
A very, very common subject for postcards. I suppose because it's romantic and a bit, a little bit transgressive as well.
But also, none of that comes across from this. It's an artist's Garrett. That's good. I'll put it up, and then I'll have something Garrett-y about wherever I live, because I move quite a bit. And Jeremy was a friend I made at university who did I won't put on a pretentious voice. It's true. He changed the way I thought about theatre and how you put on plays.
Oh,
because
goodness.
I used to think, you cast the right people in the right parts, you put them all together, you got a play. And then he did a production of King Lear, which was nothing like that. And just really made sense to me and worked. And, then we'd go and do... We did a show up in Edinburgh. We're out in the streets where we could change the route every 3 days, and just using that city as a backdrop was incredible. And it was, working with a bunch of friends and artists doing great work. Like Morgan, Jeremy is another friend I've sort of... too spineless to really keep in touch with. But anyway, he sent me this box of treats, and there's Simon, if you're, and this is, there's capitals as well, which I will stress. This isn't entirely not how Jeremy speaks. Simon, if you're up for or to it, you could do a performance above in brackets paid in the miscellaneous festival, and of course, if not, then later on soon. Love, Jeremy. Love, Jeremy.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes. He was now no longer in charge of a drama space in Cambridge. He stayed in Cambridge or returned to Cambridge. And again, even there, the paid is above the word. That you're using the writing as a slightly performative way.
And of course, you can go back and add things to writing.
Absolutely.
You can customize your own text in a way that the flatness of a digital image doesn't. You can't really do that in the same way.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. And that's something. Yeah, if you can't do if you turn it to a blog. That's like probably the last postcard from just a friend I received, rather than from say Auntie Meg or Auntie June.
Yeah. So that sort of friendly postcard thing just died out there. Gosh, you've actually chronicled the moment.
Yeah. I think and part of that is just to do with social media. You are much more in touch in a very virtual sense with people than you are before.
Well, normally at this stage, I would do another of my hopefully amusing cards from Postcard from the Past. But because Chris's book is called Mothers and features some mothers, I pulled out from my beautifully catalogued collection this morning some postcards with birthday messages to mothers on them. So birthday cards used to be postcards very often.
Wow.
In the 20s and 30s. So I thought these were quite intriguing. And I think they've all got rhymes on them.
Mm.
We've got the mellifluous Simon Caine here. Perhaps you can give us a... I'm recording especially for Hallmark.
Happy birthday to my dear mother. There is a coloured... I guess these are lilies. That's from the context. May the lilies of the valley, pure and white as angel's wing, bring you all your soul has longed for as their birthday offer ring.
Yes,
there you go.
You've done
that
your
rhymes.
Best with that one.
I slightly showed it up. These are all going up on the site. Roses for love and pansies too, with sweetest birthday thoughts for you, mother, dear mother. Oh my!
Oh dear!
Many happy. I mean, that's it's sweet the stuff, and then you don't really have to write much on the back. And the final one, loving birthday wishes to my mother. This is your birthday, mother. Greetings, fond and true. I hope that many sweet surprises come today to you.
Oh.
I mean, there you go.
It's no worse than you get in a greetings card now, I don't think.
Yeah, do you think this made me think of Guns N' Roses, this one?
Really?
Well, I wonder if Sweet Child of Mine was the last title of a popular song to use the very, Edwardian O apostrophe. You see it in Victorian poetry and Edwardian stuff, but Sweet Child of
dear
Mine
mother,
has got that.
Well, I was looking through
vintage
a box of postcard, postcard birthday
they
cards.
They definitely did. Yeah.
And ones to children, so dear son, dear daughter, often have a picture of a sweet boy or a pretty girl.
Mm.
But the ones to the mother don't tend to have a picture of an elderly lady. They tend to just have flowers. So
these are two of these are definitely from children as well. You can tell because these are just learned, joined up handwriting.
Very nice. And Dorothy then, and Ralda.
Yeah, and then this one, I think, I could just be from a child much longer ago who's much better. Dear Mum, just wish you a very happy birthday. But if they're from children, that means they're not living with their mum. So they're from school, I guess. I don't know.
One's handwritten. One doesn't have a stamp, so that could have just been
handwritten. Oh, that's true, yeah. No, yes, this one doesn't have an address, so the one with a...
Yeah.
That would have just
maybe
been
that came with
in.
A big box of chocolates.
Yeah.
Many happy returns from Dorothy. It's pretty...
It's straightforward.
It's pretty boilerplate, isn't it?
Yeah, but the message is on the front. So
that's true.
She didn't
need
to elaborate it. That's the clever thing about a good card.
And it's not an address, so she can, say more.
Yeah, the present she gave said a lot.
Loving messages to follow in person.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. My guests today are Chris Power and Simon Kane. Now, Chris, what's the final card you have for us today?
The final card I have is it's a postcard from Rome. It shows it's an aerial shot of St. Peter's.
From a helicopter?
I guess, or maybe from some sort of divine cloud, maybe.
very tall tripod.
It is right above Vatican City, so...
Maybe it was taken by God.
Check the credits.
Someone, yeah. St. Aloysius Ascending, apparently, took the photograph.
There you go. This
was addressed to me in Swansea, where I had gone to university in the autumn of 1994, and it's from my dad, and it says, "Dear Chris, Rome is cool." Now, you don't know my dad. If you did know my dad, if he's ever used the word cool and he hasn't just been talking about the temperature, then he's only ever used it with massive marks about it.
So are you saying he is talking about the temperature?
No. I think he's doing is he's trying to... I've just gone away. I was the first person in our family to go to university. So I think it was a new experience for him. Okay. And I think he's just trying to...
Right. Down with the kids.
He's trying to talk my language. Says, Rome is cool. You would love the excitement of the place and the nightlife, which, goodness, all respect to my mum and dad, I'm sure they didn't really sample the nightlife particularly. But
and
again...
If they did, you don't want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's talking my language. And then he says, went to St. Peter's today. JP2 sends his regards.
Good. How disrespectful.
Well, my dad's Irish. Both my mum and dad are Catholic. I was raised Catholic and then went a different way.
JP2, but, we're talking about...
That's John Paul II.
The Polish
Pope. Which is a much cooler moniker, isn't it? The Polish Pope. It's got some swing to it. Yeah, I think I was struck again. This was a card I'd sort of forgotten about its existence. I did know who my dad was when I was looking at it. Unlike the other two, I remember this person. But I think I was just touched by that sense of, it's a jokey card, but I think he's sort of he's writing almost in the way that a little like you were talking about, Simon, with your friend's cards, like. My friends and I used to send a lot of postcards on holiday, but we'd never talk about anything we'd actually been doing. We would just make up ridiculous stories. And I wouldn't bring any of them because they're very juvenile and puerile.
So you're still embarrassed by them.
See, well, I find them very funny, but it's that kind of thing where, it was all like sort of coded jokes and private stuff built up over
the
years.
So
it's sort of
ironies of
youth. It's impenetrable ironies of youth, and probably pretty embarrassing. But he's, in a sense, doing a similar thing. He's adopting a character, if you like, to sort of bridge the gap between us. Because when I was, 20, there was quite a big gap between us. Like nowadays, I've had kids and we've got more similarities in our lives and there's less of a need to sort of find a language that helps us communicate. We can communicate better than we did then. So I found it quite a touching thing, and sort of took me back to that moment when I left home and struck out and gone to Wales and
was he the postcard writer?
He was the postcard writer.
The case?
No. I've actually got another one here that's from my mum in her much more looping script. My dad's got kind of. It was always called doctor's handwriting, although he's not a doctor, but it's almost spidery. Illegible. Mum would typically write the card. So again, that's quite striking in its own right that he had written this card. He felt a need to communicate with me, and it was only it was a month after I'd started university.
Ah, well, you were vulnerable and away from home.
Vulnerable and away from home.
I bet he felt it was good to send you a card.
Mm.
And very often, historically, postcards, I think, have been seen as slightly feminine.
Mm.
And there's probably more wives than husbands would write the cards, or mums than dads. But, I mean, not universally so.
Yeah.
But I think just slightly more.
Yeah, I think that was true. When we went on family holidays, we went to the Isle of Wight every year, and, there'd be like a card-writing day when mum would get this sort of cliff of cards out and churn through them and occasionally ask you to add a message or
to say your piece. That was the job, to keep in touch. I was born on the Isle of Wight. You must have some lovely postcards of Black Gang Chine.
Oh, I love Black Gang Chine.
You must as well.
I've got one or two.
The Mouth of Hell.
I always say the same thing about the Isle of Wight, which is, well, two things. First thing is that the Isle of Wight's main industry seems to be postcards, because there are simply postcards of every inch of the Isle of Wight, and everyone who visited the Isle of Wight bought a postcard, because it's what you do. But the other thing is that Nye and Son, who are still in existence on the Isle of Wight, are now Britain's longest established, still working postcard publishers.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Isle of Wight is to some extent holding the flame for postcards in Britain. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's a family business, and they're still going.
Appropriate.
I wonder if they made... I read a biography of... Ivan Turgenev, the Russian writer,
who I believe
he completed Fathers and Sons, so one of his, arguably his greatest novel, in Ventnor, in the Isle of Wight. And this biography quoted a postcard that he'd sent to someone from the Isle of Wight.
I wonder if it was a Nye. I don't think they went there that far, but when was he writing
that? This would have been the 1860s, I think he wrote Fathers and Sons.
He wouldn't have been to Black Gang Chine then.
Possibly not. Certainly not to Wild West Town, anyway. Yeah, he didn't have the joy of that.
Or the Stegosaurus.
That was my favourite spot.
Isn't there a gnome village as well?
Yeah.
Of course, Tom. Of course there's a gnome village.
Actually, I think I'm due a trip to the Isle of Wight. I want to go to Isle of Wight and see these sites for myself.
It's the only fun fair where you kind of went back going, I wonder which part's fallen into the sea this year.
Really?
Yeah. Rapidly declining.
Well, we say rapidly, but I mean, it's still there. And it's
true. That's true.
They're both in.
It felt rapid at the time. It felt like parts of the park would be fenced off on some visits, and they'd had some slippage. You know, they weren't sure if they were going to lose that park.
It's crumbling.
Very good. Well, thank you for showing us those cards, Chris. Now, Simon, what's the last card you have for us? This opens up a world.
Okay, one of the things that came in the box that Jeremy sent with this postcard was blue tack, and even though I'm 44, I should probably be less excited about finding blue tack. As I say, I'm still put postcards up. And this is one of three I bought from the Guildhall when I first found the Guildhall Gallery. I'm not sure what it's called. That seems to have too many A-double-L's in. There's an art gallery in Guildhall.
In the City of London.
Which has some incredible, huge, painted panoramic views of what London used to look like, but contemporary artists. It's a great gallery.
Sounds good.
As much as anything, what I do these days, I have done for a while, is do tours. That's what keeps me performing and gets me money. And these are tours set up by friends I made working at the London Dungeon, ironically right next door to Shunt, where I used to work as well. A friend of mine, Ben, started something called the Ghost Bus Tour, and it was a bit like doing stuff with Edinburgh, in Edinburgh with Jeremy, because there was a theatrical aspect to it, and a sense of using London as your backdrop and jumping on and off buses, slightly mucking around with space. And then my friend Peter came up.
I bet they're brilliant.
They are. They're really good. They're boiling at the moment. It's a black 1960s Routemaster bus. Painted black. So he bought a 1960s Routemaster bus and then made the inside look like a seance parlour.
Oh,
a Victorian seance parlour.
Amazing.
Which meant... when they wanted to do a family-friendly version during the day, Peter Davis could turn it into a Jules Vernian time machine, which is decorated almost entirely the same. And I do something called a time tour, and you go around and pretend to have visited these places. So I found Guildhall very interesting. Also, Ben came up with a Jack the Ripper walk, which I occasionally do. Anyone who's worked at the London Dungeon is sort of not obsessed with Jack the Ripper, but feels responsible for that as a form of family entertainment and
curiously.
Curiously. If Matt Berry used to go to the London Dungeon, everything he's ever made references Jack the Ripper at some point.
Is that right? You've explained quite a lot in a sentence.
So this is a postcard. This is of a huge painting. It's a tiny postcard. You can barely make out any detail. It's from 1890. So it's a bit pre-pop art, because it looks a bit like it was made from a collection of photographs, but it is of a single scene. It's outside the Royal Exchange, next to the Bank of England, and it looks like the Lord Mayor's show. And everyone's
it's wet streets, it's a grey day. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance. Everyone's looking miserable, yeah, including...
They're not having the fun and games you might expect.
No.
The sky is looming. There's rain on the ground. And the sort of dynamics of it, that there's a very powerful perspective going on. And the figures at the front are kind of crashing out of the picture at you.
There's more drama than you'd expect.
Yeah,
there's a sense of bustle in the crowd. But there's something funereal about the guys. And I thought, definitely, oh, this is interesting. And then I looked at the title, and it's the 9th of November, 1888. That is the title of this picture. Now, that is the Lord Mayor's Show, but that is also the 9th of November. It's not called the Lord Mayor's Show. It's called the 9th of November, 1888, which is when Mary Jane Kelly's body was discovered.
Goodness
in
me.
13 Miller's Court. She was the last of the victims of the killer we call Jack the Ripper. And, that was in the house. It was an absolutely horrific mutilation. And I don't know if the artist knew that and is referring to that with the title. And that was sort of the mystery of it, because I go, is this... What is the 9th of November, 1888?
Well, it was certainly in the public consciousness very high at that
absolutely.
Time, wasn't it? And East London, well, the city is the way to East London. So.
Yeah, oh, no, so the other side of the Royal Exchange is Bishopsgate, and the other side of that is Artillery Passage and what was the Mackenzie Rents. You could absolutely read that as a painting of, here in the city of London, amongst all the pomp and circumstance, something incredibly dark and nasty has happened. Or you could just look at it as a really miserable celebration of the Lord Mayor.
Yeah, I mean, there's no celebration. It looks like a funeral procession. There isn't a single... There's so many faces, very, very, you know, painted with great detail, and none of them are smiling. They all look either solemn or miserable or mournful.
In a way that's sort of very 20th century, in a way that if you were commissioned to come up with a huge painting about the last murder, Jack the Ripper, you would have done this. Mm. Some reason I decided to buy a tiny postcard of it and stick it up.
Well, no, I think it's resonant, isn't it? Certain images do just sort of vibrate with meaning and you can't stop them.
And this is, as I say, this was bought from a gift shop. This is one of them postcards where you just want to own the painting. And that was, again, something that I associate much more with my late teens and early 20s than more recently.
And there's a sort of footnote, a postcard footnote, of course, to the Jack the Ripper events and the killings, is that, of course, there were a number of postcards sent either by the killer or by someone.
I would say nothing was sent by the killer, including the letter with Jack the Ripper on it. Mm. That whole Batman aspect of the murders was a complete...
But they were adopted by the police and posters were made. So postcards themselves were very much part of the story, one way or another.
And then were copied by later serial killers, and it's based on going back to Twitter, it's sort of the idea that these being fake letters would be anonymously sent for publication about gratuitous things, not gratuitous, I can't think of the word, horrific,
horrible
murders and mutilations carried out on homeless women, and you would a Victorian gentleman would sit down in the evening and pen this and get this published, and you go, that's quite Twitter as well.
Yes, there were sick people out there as there are today.
Yeah.
Well, look, thank you both so much for sharing what a very, a real mixed bag of postcards with varying emotions and mysteries in them. I'm very thrilled that you did share them with us and the listeners. Another quick reminder that images of all these cards are on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, including this last one from me in the past postcard style. This is Beverly, the North Bar Beverly. Beverly in Yorkshire?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's all gone a bit blue. I don't know, it's faded in the sun or something. But this was never sent, but it's been written on. And the message reads, someone's not having a very good time, basically. She's written to... We don't know who it's from. It doesn't get as far as the signature. It sort of peters out. But it's written to someone called Alicia. And they say, I'm bored, brackets, as usual, and I'm sitting in the dining room in front of the TV wondering whether to turn it on or not. I mean, you could see it might be someone in the depths of depression, but I think it's a sulky child by the looks of it.
It's remarkable. Well, it's very neat writing. It's isn't it?
Tiny writing as well.
And yes. a big mistake. Never start that small. You're never going to fill the space.
I guess they turned the TV on.
Maybe that was it, yeah, and switched on whatever it would have been. I don't know, Challenge Annika or who knows?
That
who
was
knows?
Always on.
But before we let Simon and Chris back into the overheated Fitzrovia streets, I've got one more postcard for you to look at. It has become the habit for us to end the programme with one of these.
Ah!
Amazing.
What does it... have you played it yet? I'm guessing it. It's a record, is it?
It's a flexi disc, right? Put on a postcard.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's the same technology as a flexi disc. A flexi disc, I think, a little bit thicker, because the record element of this is incredibly thin on top of a postcard.
Right. And this is Deckel Edge, Tom.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
With a central perforation. Something of an expert. Yes, with a spindle hole.
Young Tom has been watching patiently next door. He's woken up, and... he has the technology, perhaps, to play it to us.
Ah, the pipes.
You can never name that tune in one.
This takes you back to those Edinburgh trips.
Is this Sweet Child of Mine?
It could be.
The original.
Well, I always said the same thing. It's not bad for a piece of cardboard.
No.
Not at all.
I don't think I want to listen to anything more high-def version of that. That's an accurate representation.
I thought you were going to say you don't want to listen to any more. Thank you very much.
No, that's...
I would understand that. I would forgive that. Well, as the Highland scene rotates at 45 RPM... that's it for this time on Podcasts from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first-class guests for sharing the postcards from their pasts. Chris Power and Simon Kane, thank you both.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening. Bye for now. See more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me at Past Postcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardourstudios.co.uk.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.